Good morning, family. Am I up to? Okay. Yeah, anyway, it's great to be here. It's wonderful to come back in the house of the Lord. But it's also a blessed gift to be with family and people that love you. That's important. I can't think of a better place I'd rather be right now. You know, I often wonder if God was to come right now, where would you want to be? I couldn't be in a better place. I'd rather be here. Thank you so much for making me feel that comfortable. Thank you for being a part of me and my family's life. I want to thank God for allowing us another day. Somebody didn't get up this morning. You know, we glaze over, and it's easy to say until it's sitting in our lap. Until it's one of us. Until it's one of our loved ones. The church, you to each other, is the most important asset you have in your spiritual walk. You are to each other. Not the new toys that you got for Christmas or whatever it is, your hunting gun or your new deer stand. It's each other. And that's how God intends for it to be. The leadership. The best thing you can do for God's word is be a good leader. Be a good leader. That's the best thing you could do. You know, me and Tony, I know y'all get sick of hearing, well, maybe you don't. We tell our kids, don't worry about me, just do right by God. If you got him, covered, you got me covered. That's the way I want you to come up. And before you come to me with your issue, know this, I'm never going to support anything wrong. Be prepared to hear what I got, or don't come. It's up to you. But that's where I'm at. And I thank God I'm in a position I can say that for me and my family. I thank God that I've been through enough that I can hold to God's unchanging hand. I want to be a better Christian every day, every time I come. And my hopes and dreams are to grow. A lot of things influences our lives. I'm saying this because this is the last day of the year, the last Sunday of the year, and the last morning service that you'll get of this year. Because I'm going to hold you till after 12. You won't get another morning service this year. This is it. I'm going to make sure. But that in and of itself is a gift from God, straight up from God. You know? And I would like to be in the place where I could say when you was getting that last message, you heard something that was worth carrying on in life, worth remembering. As you can say, worth that New Year's resolution. I don't call it New Year's resolution. I never did look at it like that. I always look at it as it's a new day resolution. You know, each day I ask the Lord to help me to be a better Christian. And if you just look at it one day at a time, it makes that day elephant swallow a whole lot easier, because tomorrow is certainly not promised. So with that, I know you're tired of hearing my jab. You come to get a message and a sermon, and I'm going to try my best to give it to you. I'm going to try my level best to give it to you. My scripture readings will be coming from two sections in the Bible this morning. You can't get enough of it. There's so much in there that we can feed and live on that we need to stay in it, knee deep in it, if we get in it. Our first one will be Proverbs 18 and 21. Proverbs 18 and 21. When you get it, say amen. Proverbs 18 and 21. This is good stuff. Good stuff. This is stuff to help us to be better to each other. I'll read. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18 and 21. My next one is going to be James 3, verses 1 through 12. When you have it, say amen. It's a little bit longer. By now, if you're not asleep, you probably figured where I'm going with this. Amen? Amen. Now this I'm going to read from the NIV version for the sake of understanding. For everybody can, you know, go along and get along with it pretty much the way I have. Or try to get it so you can get clarity without stumbling over the thus, thous, and those. So with that, let me read. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouth of a horse to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the course of one's life on fire, and is itself on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it curse human beings who have been made in God likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. And both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. My title for this morning is, I didn't mean to say that, he took it the wrong way. I guess you say, well, great, I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going with this. And I guess everybody do. But we still fall victim to it. We're still doing it. You say, well, what it is? Well, let me give you just a little bit of background. James 3, during the time that this was written, there was two James in that era. The first James, the brother of John, the sons of Salome and Zebedee, were disciples of God, picked by God. It is believed by the theologians and the writers is that he wasn't the one, that James wasn't the one that wrote it. Because in 42 A.D., Herod, King Herod had him killed. This letter came up after that. The second James in the group is James, brother of Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph. Most theologians believe later on, after he accepted Jesus as the Son, wrote this letter. James wrote the letter because he was concerned. At that time, a lot of Christians was leaving the country. And when they go to the other country, he was concerned about them holding to their Christian standards, doing what they were supposed to do, staying the same. Why? Because none of the leaders that they had contact with or dealt with daily never went. The apostles didn't go. Now, if I may, let me put a pause right there. what James is starting or bringing to light right here at this point is the absence of learning and studying with leaders and fellow Christians in the church can have a profound impact on how you talk and live there. That's what he's saying. And without that, you tend to follow the crowd. That's the part he's getting to with that. But James goes on to target. He goes on to laser lock on a specific subject, fault that he's concerned with fellow Christians. See, this letter he's writing, he's not writing to the people in the street. This letter he's writing is not to the soldiers, it's not to the government, it's not to any of the ones outside of the threshold. He's writing this letter to fellow Christians. But he goes on to say that we need to be mindful of how we talk to one another. That's what he's saying. Well, it's an easy warning. It's a good warning. But James puts some emphasis on how destructive we can be to one another. Now that by itself is a tough pill to swallow for me. Yeah, he's saying the tongue is a poison, an unruly subject, a thing that can cause massive destruction, the way he's put it. And he's saying that because of the people in the church. And I had to ask myself, you know, I said, when he put it to you like that, you got to think about it. And I thought about all the ugly things that I said to people as I was coming up. I thought about how I never really gave it a second thought, especially when I was in the world, didn't care, you know, I just wanted to do something to hurt you, say something to hurt you back. You know, when I was in the military, we used to have, at this time of the year, we used to go on a consideration for others, or have a consideration for others class, making sure that we were looking out for people that was potentially subject to commit suicide. Why did he do that? Well, he's in the United States Army. He's away from his family. We're teaching him how to kill people. And he may be depressed about something. You couple all that up together and he's miles away from home, you might have what it takes to have someone commit suicide. But in that training, in that teaching, we were taught and put in the position to say only certain things. You couldn't say it certain ways because we didn't want him to think at any time that this was an approved or accepted method. We didn't want him or her to think any time that you were by yourself. We didn't want him or her to go back when he go to his barracks alone by himself and say, well, I ain't got nothing else to live for. Talk to him. Which made what we say have a profound impact on somebody other than yourself. Huh? Tim, come and talk to me. You know, this is the third Christmas I've been away from my family. I got a Dear John letter from a girlfriend my first year. I got busted last year. And we get ready to go into Iraq. And the commander don't like me. And Tim, come and talk to him. And I ain't seen him before. I mean, he ain't never said nothing to me before in the whole time we've been here. Now he's in here trying to tell me how do I feel. And then he told me, I don't really care. You know, you shouldn't feel like killing yourself. Was that helpful for me? No. And he didn't say anything either. But what would have helped them, just using me as an example, I know Tim is not like that. Tim probably had some of the same classes that we had to have. I know he don't think like that. But the point here is that just off his lack of more care and concern, I lost the desire to want to go on. I was hurt. Impacted enough that I considered killing myself. Getting back to my lesson, what James is saying here, we in the church have that same detrimental effect when we talk to each other. We are looking at it from the other perspective. We supposed to be family. Yeah. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to be tight as it get before God calls us home. We are. We're supposed to see morally identical. We're supposed to see the same thing. You should be able to feel some compassion when I hurt, and vice versa. I should feel some compassion when you hurt. Should be. And I want to believe that is the case. But James goes to the point of saying that it's like a spark in a huge, tremendous forest. Just a small thing can set the whole forest ablaze. You said the wrong thing. You say, well, why does it have that much profound effect? If we are supposed to be family, if we are supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ, if we are supposed to be loving each other, if we are supposed to be following the word of the Lord, then we certainly shouldn't be hurting each other. What we say. We certainly shouldn't be loose with the lips when it comes to talking about somebody and telling them they're wrong. We certainly should consider how much we say to someone and how we say. You say, well, great, I got that. I understand that. Why is that it's so important? Let me reverse the scenario. I remember when people said ugly things to me. Yeah. And I said some ugly, I had some people say some ugly things. Let me tell you something. Before I found God, I would go to your rabbit box. You say certain things. You hear me? That means I'm going to fight you. Yeah, this ain't going down. Over something they say. Words. Why is that important? Well, we're a family. Nothing hurts worse than having a family member you're supposed to love say something hurt you. Nothing. I've had a parachute collapse and I fall and hit the ground and tear my cartilage in my rib cage. Physically hurt. Toe up. Spitting up blood. Had that. Didn't hurt nothing like having a family member say something ugly to me. Why is that important? We're a family, church. We're a family. We're a family. So what we have to accept and understand is that you have the capability of destroying my character in my mind. You have the capability of tearing me down. You have the capability because if I'm loving you freely, that door is open to you. By the same token, you should look at me and say, it is open and I shouldn't hurt my brother. I'll never sit here and tell you not to tell someone the truth. But there's a right way and a wrong way to talk to people. Why so important in the church? Why? Is it so important in the church? Because he's just like you. The Bible tells us, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Now, trust me. I've done a lot of things to people I didn't love and said a lot of things. But by the time you're saying and doing that to somebody that's supposed to be the person you love, you're twisted and warped with where you are with your religion. You hurt or you have the ability to sway someone to not come back to God's house. You set the wheel, the fire, in the forest and it starts fanning the flame. The flame starts going. We have to, what we need to look at, what we need to see is at all costs, whatever we do, not be a help in someone going away from the word. You don't want to be a help in that. We want to bring him on. I know this is hard, this is tough, but if we're not able to see and do that for each other who are family, how do we do it outside of the threshold? So you say, well, Grady, I'm sick of you hollering and screaming at me. What? I got this. The tongue. The Bible tells us no man can tame the tongue. What you can do is stop and think before you say what you say. What you can do is, before you say it, you know, pray and ask God to help for guidance and communication skills. What you can do is read the word and find out, you know, hey, can I get you to read with me and let me show you something? But what you don't do is just come all out of your neck ugly at somebody. What you don't do is throw his feelings to the side and just let him have it. Go further. What you don't do is hurt your brother. Don't do that. If there is something that we can take away from this, it would be, let's be better to each other. How do we do that? It's be better to yourself. I'm always preach this kind of message. Why? It's because the word got to get out, and the only way it's going to get out is through us. And how do you do that? You do it right. You do it right. Never forget who you are. Never forget where you are. And never forget why you are. Jesus had no problem laying his life down for us, and he didn't do anything. And he managed to do the whole thing without saying one ugly word to anybody. How he pulled that off, I don't know. All I'm asking you to do is just that one second in time is just think before you say it. Is it going to cause more harm than good? The tongue. You know, if I went off what we say is love and I listen to what you say when it's love, I would get it twisted. See, I'm slow. I'm from Willow. It sounds like you hate me with the stuff you say, but you say it's love. That's how it sounds when you have a babe in Christ come to church and you've been here a while and you say something ugly to him. That's how it sounds. And you're supposed to be in the name of love. Church, family, if you're going to take your New Year's resolution or whatever kind of resolution you call it, take this one with you. Let's try just a little bit harder to be kinder to each other. Just at least talk nice and live nice to one another. And the second point that James was trying to put out is that, and we talked about this morning, it's almost impossible to say that you are a Christian and don't live it and make it to heaven. Let me say that again. it's almost impossible to say that you are a Christian and don't live it and make it to heaven. I don't know how you can do it. What he's saying is you've got to live the part. That when you left the church, when you're not here, when you're at work, when you're over to your friend's house, when you're in the Walmart and they're running over your feet or whatever. Are you a Christian then? You can be 100% right. It ain't right for you to be an ugly wicked person. It's never right to be wrong. And what's worse? Is to take your tongue and annihilate his ear. Don't do that. Don't do that. Out of all the things that I went through, as I told you before, the most hurtful thing for me was to have family say certain things to me. I don't know about you, but I believe in my heart everybody in here has done something wrong. I believe that at some point somebody done you wrong. I do. I thank God and I believe in my heart that God's way is the only way to recover from that, because that makes all of us the same, struggling Christians. And until we see it like that, we're never, ever going to be living the life of a Christian. We're all the same. They're all the same. And you've got to hold to God's word, not grandmama's tradition, not daddy's old brandy. You got to hold to the word. You got to stay to it. Right is not a color. It's not a political party. It's not an affiliation with a group. It's not tradition. Right is my Lord and Savior. That's right. Anything other than that, you're walking backwards. So, church, as I come to my closure with the tongue, two passages, 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. John 4:20. 1 John 4:20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not. It ain't in the DNA and makeup for you to hate somebody else and love God. It ain't there. So let's talk to each other like that. Let's make that our resolution. Let's make that change today. Let's say we're not going to be like that to each other, regardless of what the scenario is. Let's be better to each other. I pray that we can make that change, that move. I think God has all capability and power in his hand. I think the only thing is that we got to hold to his unchanging hand. By doing that, we accept God's plan. And until you accept God's plan, you're working an impossible plan. Unless you accept God, that one you got ain't going to work. Unless you accept God. And you start that by hearing the gospel. You find that in Romans 10:13-17. Believe in Christ. You'll find that Mark 16:15-16. Repent of past sins. You'll find that in Acts 2:36-47. Confess Christ. Romans 10:9-10. Be baptized. Acts 22:16. 1 Peter 3:21. And live faithfully unto death. You find that in Revelations 2:10. That's your way to being better to one another. Anybody and everybody. If If you have a need now, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.